In your Bible, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to study verses 17 through 27 tonight. And and we will try to move quickly because we are a little short on time. But like I said, one of the few times I don't have long to preach that I'm okay with it. This is a great night. Ephesians 4, verse 17. And this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth, that means from this moment forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Father, please bless your word. Help us to be convicted by it. Change us. Save lost sinners tonight, and help saved sinners to be surrendered completely to your will. Change us and make us what you'd have us to be, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been talking in the last couple of weeks about expressing the life of Christ. And as we've studied abiding in Christ from John 15, we've kind of moved on past the doctrinal part of it to the practical part of it. And it is this, that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of your heart. He makes you a new creature. And God wants to change us, but he does that from the inside outwardly. He changes our heart, he changes our mind, and that changes our life. And so as we spend a lot of lessons learning about how God wants to change our heart, how God wants to change our mind, how God wants to change who we are on the inside, the natural result of that is to be changed in our life. Now, if anybody's been around for more than a minute, you've seen people who have made professions of faith in Christ. They say they believe in Jesus, but their life never changes. So there's a breakdown somewhere because biblically, a disciple is changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's important we understand this. Salvation is the miracle of a moment. Jesus said it's like being born again. Listen, you were born into this world. There's a birth certificate with your name on it that says what day, what time you were born, and all the vital statistics about that moment. And there was a moment in time you were physically born of the flesh. Well, Jesus said you need to have a moment when you're born of the Spirit. There needs to be a time when you have repented of your sin, turned away from your sin to God, that you trusted in Christ with all your heart, you prayed and called on the name of the Lord. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so there needs to be that time. And listen, I'm not saying you need to know the date and the year, the date, the hour, and all that kind of stuff. I couldn't tell you the day of the week I got saved, to be honest with you. I don't remember the day of the week. I could take you to the place. I could tell you the moment. I could tell you what God did in my heart. I can tell you how I trusted in Christ for the very first time. But I don't know if it was on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday. I don't know. Now, some of you could tell me exactly the day. That's not the point. The point is there was a moment when I trusted in Christ for the very first time. And everybody needs that moment. That we have to have that second birth. And if you've had that second birth, salvation is the miracle of a moment. Sanctification is the process of a lifetime. And you'll study your Bible. You'll find passages just like what we read all through the Scriptures that God is calling us to put off the old man and put on the new man, to stop this sin and to start this righteousness. And God wants to change us through our lives, and that change starts on the inside. Now, how many of you guys like to watch the Olympics? Anybody? Like three of you. Okay, There's a few more. Is that hard, putting that hand up like that? Difficult move. I love to watch the Olympics because the USA is usually the best, and I like to be the best. Right? Now, listen, none of those Olympic athletes woke up one day and thought, you know what, I'm going to go to the Olympics. You know how they got there? They worked and trained very hard for a long time. And you know what got them to be an Olympic athlete? They made daily choices in their diet and their exercise and their activity. And those daily choices for their life, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, year after year, those daily choices added up to them being world-class athletes. Amen. Now, guess what? Spiritually, it is no different for you and me. Do you know why the Apostle Paul was a great spiritual athlete? You know why he was one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived? Do you know why Charles Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers that has ever preached the gospel? When you study these people in their lives and you study these people in the Bible, the ones who we look at and hold in such high regard, the reason is because they daily made choices that added up to a life of faithfulness to Jesus Christ. Every day they made choices to pray and to study their Bible and to witness for Christ and to live the Christian lifestyle. Daily they made choices to put off the old man and put on the new man. And every day, those days added up to weeks and weeks to years and months and weeks to months and months to years and decade after decade, their lifestyle led them to be world-class spiritual athletes. And friends, that's exactly what you and I ought to strive for every day. I can tell you this for sure. I'm never going to be an Olympic athlete. It's just not going to happen for me. I'm okay with that. But I have an opportunity to be a world-class spiritual athlete. I have an opportunity to do something that will matter for eternity for Christ. And can I give you some great news? So do you. Every person in this room has the opportunity to daily make choices that can make you into something that God can use for eternity. Isn't that awesome? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that cheerful endurance to keep moving forward, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to put off some things. We've got to get rid of some weight. We've got to get rid of some sin so we can run with endurance for Christ. And here's how we do it. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Listen, I got news for you. If you're saved, you don't sin by accident. You sin by choice. We choose to, and we set ourselves up to. We make provision. We try to align things up so that we can sin. And the Lord says, don't do that. Don't make provision. Don't make it easy for yourself to sin. Don't do that so you can fulfill the lust. No, put that stuff off. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and keep running for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants our lives to be an expression of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, to reflect His nature and His character in our daily lives. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the inside of us to shine to the outside. Let me give you a couple things real quick. Number one, we must walk a different walk. We must walk a different walk. Now, I believe that our walk is our daily lifestyle. The Bible calls it our conversation. Now, we hear conversation, we think, well, that's when you're talking to somebody. Well, God's Word, when it says conversation, it means your lifestyle, your walk. And what is our life? It is a series of decisions that we make day after day, moment after moment. When you come to the end of your life and look back, what you're going to see is decisions that you made along the way. And each step that you take is a decision that you make. And you choose to walk in righteousness, or you choose to get off the path and walk in unrighteousness. In every moment of every day we make decisions, and our whole life is just a culmination of all the decisions we've made day after day. And some people make good decisions. I'm friends with people who are very healthy. I mean, I've got friends whose biceps are as big as my head, and that's pretty big. Why? Because they make decisions every day to eat right and exercise. Some of those lunatics get up at 4:30 every morning to go to the gym for a couple hours. Did I just call them lunatics? Did I say that out loud? Hey, thank you. As long as somebody agrees with me, it's okay to call them lunatics. I mean, that's just crazy to me. But they're dedicated, and you know what? It shows in their life. It's evident. It's evident the choices that they make, that they're eating right, they're exercising, and you can see those people because they want you to see them. Right? Well, spiritually, if we make the right decisions day after day, guess what? It's going to show in our lives too. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit's going to shine forth in our lives. So, God wants the behavior of a believer to be radically different than the behavior of an unbeliever. You believe that? Now, it ought to be this. When you go out into the world and you see people interact, if you just go social experiment, if you ever need a social experiment, just go to Walmart. Because it's all right there. Right? I hate going to Walmart. But when I go, it's interesting to see all the people because you see it all at Walmart. And sometimes you literally see it all. And, oh, it's awful. But anyway, when you go to Walmart and you look at the people, it ought to be that just going into the parking lot, parking and going into the store and leaving, you should be able to tell who are Christians and who are not. Amen. By the way people live, by the way they look, by the way they talk, by the way they act, it ought to be evident. But I've got news for you. It is not evident. Amen. Some of the rudest people and the most hateful people that I have seen at Walmart are supposed to be Christians. I hope it wasn't somebody from our church. I mean, some of the most hateful people, what I'm trying to say is it's not evident. People who are followers of Christ don't act different. And the reason is because they're not really following Christ. He wants us to be radically different from the world. A lot of Christians are being told right now in America today that it doesn't matter how you live. A lot of unbiblical churches are teaching people today that it doesn't matter how they live, and they want to help people to feel comfortable to continue on in their sinful behaviors. Hey, listen, it's okay. It's grace. It's grace. But somebody missed Romans 6 and verse 1 I read a little bit ago. Do you remember what it said? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because what he had just been talking about is the fact that God gives grace. God forgives sin. And so the question is, hey, if God's going to forgive us anyway, so we could just do whatever we want to. And the answer, God forbid. God forbid. No. No, you don't just keep living like the world. No, you don't keep living like a lost person. No, you don't keep on in your sin. We're different. I'm different on the inside, so I should be different on the outside. God calls believers to be distinctly different. Grace and Christian liberty do not give us a license to live in sin. They give us freedom to walk in the light. And they give us freedom to be transformed by God's power in our lives. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be like the world. And by the way, Brother Rick Adams taught me this years ago, and I love it. That word conformed is the same word that we get masquerade from. Can anybody tell me what they used to do at the old masquerade balls? What did everybody wear? A mask, right? Do you know what a true saved person is when they act like the world? When they're masquerading. Saved people aren't worldly. Saved people aren't like that. They're different. And when you act like the world, if you're really saved and you live like the world, what you're doing is putting on a mask, pretending to be something you're not. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. Throw away the mask. Quit trying to pretend like you're part of that world. You're not. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word transformed is metamorphosis. It means to be changed from one thing to another. Anybody ever do that in school or even at home? Watch the caterpillar turn into a butterfly? Isn't that so amazing? I don't care how many times I see it, I'm still blown away by it. We found this caterpillar last year, and we got one of those little butterfly things, and we put it in there, and it was this gross little furry thing, and it crawled around, and I was so excited to see it turn into a beautiful butterfly. It was a moth. It wasn't even one of the pretty ones. But still, it's an amazing transformation. This wriggly, nasty fish bait turns into something that can fly around. It's amazing. And that's the kind of change God wants to make in our lives. And can I just tell you, that's really what it looks like for me. Anything that God does in my life to change, it's a dramatic transformation from who I used to be to who He wants me to be. The world is in darkness. We in our text in verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth from this moment forward walk not as other Gentiles walk." Well, how do they walk? Well, they walk in the vanity of their mind. Do you know what vanity means? It means empty. Maybe that sounds a little hateful, but God's word saying that Gentiles, ungodly people, people who are not saved, the people of the world, their minds are empty. There's nothing there. There's no life there. It's darkness there. Well, why are their minds dark? Why is it like that? Well, look at verse 18. "Having the understanding darkened." What happened? Well, Satan blinded their minds. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And the devil is working hard to blind people so that they won't be saved. And listen, you get the picture? He's saying, listen, don't walk around in the vanity of your mind. Don't walk around in spiritual darkness. Don't walk around like lost people. Because you're not in darkness. Satan hasn't blinded you. You have seen the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been illuminated. God has shined the glorious light of the gospel into your life, and you've been saved. So don't live like you're not saved. Amen. Why would you walk in darkness when you can have, and you do have, the light of life? Amen. Walk in the light as He is in the light is the command for us, the call to us today. Listen, people believe all kinds of crazy stuff, if you didn't know it. And just think about it. He says that they've been alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I people believe in reincarnation. I talked to somebody just a few weeks ago right here in town. Young man who thinks that when you die, you just start over again and you get another chance to try over. I think he's played too many video games. And I told him that. I said, life is not a video game. When it's over, it's over. You don't get to do over. You don't get to try again. You don't get to power up and get a new life and respawn, or however they say it in their video games. That's not how it works. That's not reality. When it's done, it's done. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no purgatory. There's no nothing. It's death, and then you face the judgment. That's it. And here's the reality, friends. The judgment's already determined by what you do with Christ now. Amen. You reject Christ, you don't believe, you are blinded, and you will end up in hell. You trust Christ, you believe in Him now, and you have eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and the light of the gospel's in your life. Amen. Other people believe that they're good and they don't need a Savior. You ever met those people? I love sharing the gospel. But maybe this is just my flesh, but I got to tell you the truth. I really love sharing the gospel with people who think they're good. Do you know how hard it is to show somebody who thinks they're good that they're not good? Some people, it's pretty tough. It's a challenge, but I enjoy that kind of challenge. How many lies have you ever told in your life? I had somebody tell me just the other night they'd only told 3 or 4 lies in their life. No, I'm sorry. I think you missed it. I meant in your life, not in the last hour. Give me a break. For real? I told more lies than that when I was 6 months old. You know what I mean? People are crazy. They believe whatever they want to believe. You know there are people in this town today who believe that they are becoming a god? It's true. They believe that we can all become gods. As a matter of fact, they believe that Jesus was an angel or something like that, and he became a god. Lord help. You know what the Bible calls it? It calls it vain imaginations. And what happens to those people who will not believe, they've been blinded by Satan, and they latch on to these crazy ideas? The Bible says they're alienated, separated from the knowledge of God, from the life of God through ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. And it says that they are, look at verse 19, their past feeling. What does that mean? It means that they don't even get convicted about stuff anymore. Maybe early on they thought, man, this is dumb. Maybe early on they thought, man, I shouldn't live like this. Maybe early on they thought, this is really not a good way to live. But they continue in that lifestyle long enough and they get past feeling. They get numb to it. The Bible talks about you can have your conscience seared as with a hot iron. You know what happens when something's seared? When something gets burned? I don't know if you've ever had a burn like that. It may hurt at first, but then it calluses over and it's numb. You can't feel anything anymore. And so that's what happens. They give themselves over. They get past feeling. And they have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. They're full of all of this sinfulness, all of this immorality, and they're just, all they care about is consuming and fulfilling their lusts. You know, being past feeling is not a good thing. I remember several years ago I read about a little girl who was born with a condition where she can't feel pain. And I remember initially I thought, man, that would be awesome because I'm allergic to pain. I don't like pain at all. And when I'm in pain, everybody knows it because I'm a big baby. And I thought, man, that would be amazing. But you know what happens? One little girl, and I've read several stories, but one little girl, she got ran over by a car. She got up like nothing happened because she didn't feel anything. They had to rush her to the hospital to see because they have no idea. She's got a tire mark across her chest. And she felt nothing. They got to take her to the hospital and see what damage is done because they don't know. I mean, there's no way to know. But praise the Lord, she wasn't hurt at all. By the way, that's praise the Lord. Ran over by a car and didn't even, just a couple of scratches and she was fine. No internal damage or anything. But what I'm saying is, pain's a good thing. Pain lets you know there's something wrong. Right? Like when you have chest pain, might be something wrong. Just saying. We know that pain is a good thing. It's an alarm system to let us know something wrong. And did you know that the conviction of the Holy Spirit is the same way? When the Holy Spirit convicts you, it ought to wake you up and say, man, something's not right. We need to get something fixed here. We need to go to the great physician and get something taken care of. We need to be different if we hope to make a difference in this world. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to put off and put on. Put off the old man. Colossians 3:9 says, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of knowledge after the image of him that created him. This is, we need to put off the old man. We need to put off who we used to be. Just look at it. Put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle, your old habits, your old walk. Put off those things because it's corrupt according to deceitful lust. And by the way, lusts are deceitful. All of the things in our flesh that we think is so good and we think it's so satisfying and think, if I could just get that, if I could just have a little bit more, I'd be satisfied. I promise you, you'll never be satisfied with the lust of the flesh. Never. I mean, people always think just one more this, one more that, one more this. And you'll never, ever be satisfied. And the Bible tells you, it warns us right here, they're deceitful lusts. They trick you into thinking it's going to satisfy, and all it's going to do is ruin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away with his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The end of sin is always death. You know where sin starts? Lust. Our own lust. And they're deceitful. Why wouldn't we want to put off those things? I'll never understand why we're so foolish. We know that the lust of our flesh, we know what it does, we know what it brings into our life, we know the pain and the destruction and the disappointment and ultimately death that sin brings, and yet we still go back. And God is saying, put that off, leave it alone, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In verse 24, put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. I want to help you out tonight. Do you know where the renewing of your mind comes from? It comes from this book right here. You let your mind feast on this book, it'll renew your mind. This is not just some other book. This is the living Word of God. And it'll change your life. Be renewed by it day by day and put on the new man. Now look at, see where we're at. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Put on the new man. And so how do we do that? We do that by being in the Word of God, and we do that by the Spirit of God. John 15:26 says, but when the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Verse 25 in our text. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So what are these? These are outward things. I used to tell lies. God says, put away lying and start speaking the truth. Listen, if you're accustomed to lying, that's not easy to do. The only way you can do that is through the Spirit of God. Everybody here knows people who lie constantly, don't you? Compulsive liars. Habitual liars. I know people like that. I've got people like that in my family. And when they talk, I don't listen. Just kind of nod and smile because I don't believe any of what you're saying. You've been around those people? They tell stories and you're just like, mm-hmm. Right. Mount Everest, huh? That's unbelievable. Listen, somebody that's in the habit of lying, it's hard for them to get over that. And God says, listen, put away lying and speak the truth. And then he says, be angry. And everybody says, amen. See, the Bible says to be angry. That's good, right? No, because he says, and sin not. Can we get a poll real quick? How many of you would say that you have a problem with anger? My hand's raised. I do. Like some of you are having to think about it. You really gotta work through that. Next time I'll just ask your kids. Just cut to the chase. You can ask my kids, they'll tell you that their daddy has a problem with anger. It depends on who you're talking to. Is it okay to be angry if you can do it without sinning? You guys ever heard the advice people give to young couples? Don't ever go to bed angry. Don't ever go to bed in a fight. Make it up before you go to bed. Well, the Bible goes even farther than that. It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You don't even get to wait till bedtime. You got to get it dealt with before the sun goes down. You're too late. Sun done set. Now you're sinning. No, we get angry. We get angry about a lot of things, but if we get angry, we have to make sure we're not sinning in it. And we can't hold on to our wrath. We can't hold on to our anger. God wants us to put it away, just so you can put away lying. Just like if you cuss, put away cussing. Quit cussing. Quit talking like that. Quit lying. Quit stealing. He wants us to change. Well, how in the world do we do that? Because we got to renew the spirit of our mind, and because we do this, verse 27, we'll end with this, we'll get ready for an invitation, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't leave the door cracked a centimeter. Because if you open up the door for the devil, he's going to kick that thing down and he's going to move right in. Don't give him an opportunity. So where does all this happen? This warfare, I want to tell you the primary place that this warfare takes place is in our mind. Because we spend more time putting Hollywood into our mind than we spend putting God's word into our mind. You think that's not true? I know it's true. We watch this stuff. We listen to this stuff. We expose ourselves to stuff. We feast on it in our mind. And why wouldn't we expect something negative to come out of our life? Now, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What gets into our heart, where does it come from? It comes from our mind. So we've got to make sure we don't give any room to the devil. Renew the spirit of our mind through the word of God. Now, I want to preach for another hour. But let me just end with this. None of this matters if you've never been born again. Changing your life. And I want to say this as plainly as I can. All of this that I've been talking about, all of the scriptures that are talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man, all of those truths apply to believers. If you're not a believer, if you've never been born again, if you've never in your life repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, if you've never been saved, then none of that other stuff matters. And I need to make sure you understand that, because too many people are going out into the world saying, I need to clean up my life. I need to do better. And listen, you can do better till Jesus comes and you'll end up in hell if you've never repented and trusted in Christ alone. Amen. All of the doing better will not save you, because you can't undo your wrong with more right. Amen. The only payment for sin is death, and Christ paid that sin debt for us on Calvary. So you don't come saying, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to put off the old. I'm going to put on the new. No, 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 no. There is no new man if you've never been saved. So have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Ever been a moment in your life where you repented, turned from your sin and turned to God, where you trusted in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? Have you been saved? I pray that you have. And if you haven't, I pray you'll come right now while we stand together and while we sing.